started in here.
And 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there is the eye in the sky looking at you. He can read your mind. That is John Justice.
I think I have a... Well, here, finish what you're going to do.
In there, pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-999-5855 is not the lovely, talented, and radiant Samantha. It is the lovely, talented, and radiant Brianne.
Good morning. Brianne.
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
Oh, just fine.
Sam is taking a few days off. She will be back on Monday.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have an idea, by the way.
Maybe we'll horse business to attend to.
I think maybe we'll start it tomorrow.
Pony-related vacation.
I think when you do the intro, when you go, that guy... Right? When you go to that guy?
That guy over there.
I'm thinking maybe try tomorrow. Uh-huh. Maybe tomorrow you let me fill in the blank. So they could be like, that guy, and then I can go blah, 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 blah. So maybe we get a little bit more accurate statement on, you know, perhaps what's really happening with me. So it's not, you know, some random song lyric from the last thing that you heard on the iHeartRadio app before you walked in the studio this morning.
That might be true.
Yeah, you know.
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Yeah, so if you say, like, that guy who got 7 hours of sleep last night.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
congratulations.
So you go there, right? Yeah, it's been a consistent couple of nights.
Woke up this morning. You ever wake up to a power outage?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a weird...
I have.
Yeah, that'll throw your morning off.
The silence... The silence is almost deafening.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. That's the first thing you notice is like, okay... Because all the lights are off when I get up anyway, so that wasn't unusual. But the clock that I usually look at was blank. It was just dark, and I thought, oh, that's weird. But it didn't click yet. You know, it was a power outage.
Sure.
And then I go out and I start flipping on some lights, and suddenly I realize, oh... I have no power this morning.
Didn't pay the bill, huh? Yeah, right. I know times are rough, too.
So I ran out, grabbed the extension cord that I have hooked up to my neighbor's house.
Okay.
Plugged that into my generator.
Good for
so
you.
We're all set. Yeah.
put some gas in it. Was it a neighborhood thing?
Yeah, it must have been.
Did it come back on?
It came back on. I was up for about maybe 10 minutes.
I
spent the whole time just standing in the kitchen. Thinking to myself, okay, I can't make coffee.
Yeah.
So I guess I should just go into work now. I can't take a shower.
My God, there's a lot of food. If it doesn't come back on, there's a lot of food in the freezer I should probably eat.
And then it popped back on. So.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hate that, though, because then you got to go around and fix stuff.
Oh, I'll do that later.
Then you got to reset, you know, clocks and make sure.
I'll worry about that later.
It's like one of the biggest things I hate when the car battery dies. Like, gosh darn, I got to reset the clock now.
Yes.
And stereo settings and all that. Oh, it's
always a mystery. It's like you do it, and then you think, okay, next time I'm going to remember which buttons I need to press, and then it happens again, and I've totally forgotten.
There was a story in the Star Tribune over the weekend. It wasn't necessarily show-worthy. It got close. Didn't make the cut. But
this is the show, right?
Well, yeah, but now you've made it relevant. So, you know, then, had I known then... On Sunday, that today, Wednesday, you would have a power outage to where I could bring up the story of how the silence is deafening, then I would have put it in the mix. But it was, I guess there's a quiet room.
Yes, yes.
Where it's like 0 decibels, yeah. And it's supposed to be like really weird.
Yeah, it's a very, I've never been in one, but I've read about them. It's an odd sensory experience when you go into one of those completely silent rooms. And if you spend too much time in there, you'll actually start to go a little mad.
Yeah?
Yeah, your brain will start messing with you.
You just got to start making noise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we're so used to it. A constant background noise, whether it's the hum of your refrigerator or water running in the pipes in your walls, things like that. You don't notice them, but they're always there. And that's when the power goes out, the first thing you notice is it's so quiet.
Right.
You know, the refrigerator, and the main thing is the refrigerator. The refrigerator makes that constant hum, and when that goes away, it's very noticeable.
I know in the morning there's the water softener. Yeah. It's the room that it's in is in the laundry room, which is right off of where my bedroom office is, and it turns on at 3. Like, I know when it doesn't go on. Like, I'm aware, oh, where's my noise? You know, where's that? Why is that not happening? It always drives me nuts when you see the people complaining. We had the story a couple of weeks back about the neighborhoods near the airport that were talking about the flights, more flights coming in and the noise. It's like, man, you know, you have no idea how much louder stuff is around you than the plane that goes by over your head on a constant, you know, on a daily basis. On the show today, we've got Essie Cupp, HLN host, joining us just after 8:30. She made the top 25 conservative list for Salon, but that's not anything to really be, I don't want to say proud of, but she kind of took him to task for it, and we'll get to why. Andrew Langer, normally on with us Monday, he's going to join us after 7 o'clock this morning, and here's the reason why. So I did during the research this morning, Drew. Mm-hmm. When you think about publications that covered stories about potential Trump-Russia collusion, right? Collusion? You think Washington Times, you think Washington Post, New York Times, New York Post, LA Times?
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Sure.
All those. CNN, right? Them too. Every single one of those outlets, none of them covered Uranium One.
No.
Not a one.
Nope.
Like, actual. And we'll get to all of this, but actual evidence of Russia meddling in collusion and bribery and payola and really bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Really bad.
Pretty bad. Pretty ugly.
None of them.
Yeah, and the AP covered it. They could have just, like, reprinted an AP copy. You know, they didn't have to do any work.
Right. Oh, Star Tribune either. They didn't. They wasn't on there.
Yeah.
Wasn't on their homepage.
Not very interesting.
No.
It's not really newsworthy.
It kind of is. It's a little bit newsworthy. Coming up, we will have audio, and we talked about this in the start of yesterday's show. Hannity's, and I'll go so far as to say Hannity's countdown to and his TikTok thing, in my opinion, was worthy. This was a big. It broke before he had a chance to break it on his show,
but it was a big deal.
It was
more just he knew it was coming. Maybe that's what he was referring.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that he was going to break it, but that he knew this was coming today. Well, apparently, I saw a story in The Hill yesterday or the day before. Apparently, like, Trump calls Hannity after a show every day.
Yeah?
Yeah, they just have a little chat, a little post-show chat.
That doesn't surprise me in the
least. Kind of like how you used to call me, you know, on your ride home.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
Trump, I'm Hannity.
John McCain did that to me twice.
Right?
He called me twice about after appearances and wanted to know. It's really,
how's it going, John?
I felt special at the time. I don't anymore. But I felt special then. We'll have a bit of audio from Hannity's monologue last night, blasting the Clintons, demanding Mueller, Rosenstein, and Sessions investigate the scandal.
Now they're calling for Mueller to be questioned.
Oh, they are?
His role in that. Yeah, you've got some House Republicans that are requesting that he testify.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The guy doing the investigation. It's all such a mess.
All right. We'll play you some of the audio from Hannity's monologue last night. Plus, we're going to get to Sam's potential top five.
What we think would have been floating Sam's boat this morning. We'll bring you those stories next right here on Twin Cities News Talk. Justice in...
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. Remember, use that hashtag TCNT if you want to communicate with us on Twitter. And also, use hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT if you want tasty coffee and Timbits delivered to your office.
Yep, keep using that hashtag. We picked a winner yesterday. Congratulations to listener Rhiannon on Twitter. Her tweet was selected by our random number generator thing. So we'll be going to her office on Thursday to deliver some Tim Hortons. But we will do this again next week and the week after. draft. We're going to do this for several weeks. So keep entering, keep using that hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT, and you may see us next Thursday.
What we think might have been Sam's top five coming up here in just a minute. She's out for the next next few days. First off, though, Sean Hannity had been
horse-related sabbatical.
Had been counting down all week to something big, and it kind of broke. We broke it during the show yesterday. This Uranium One, Russia's efforts to gain a foothold in uranium globally, and the ties to not only the to Obama but also to the Clintons as well. And this is a portion of Hannity's monologue from last night.
Welcome to Hannity, and tonight, explosive new evidence in what is becoming the biggest scandal, or at least one of them, in American history. Now, it's something we have been saying would be exposed for months, according to new reports tonight from The Hill's John Solomon and Circa News' Sarah Carter. There are brand new FBI documents that show the Russian nuclear industry officials kick back millions and millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, all while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and helped approve the Uranium One deal, which gave Moscow, Russia, Vladimir Putin control of 20% of American uranium, the foundational materials for nuclear weapons. And tonight, they're also reporting the FBI now has evidence that Russia for years has been doing this, and they're reporting the FBI has evidence that literally they use bribery to gain control over America's uranium industry, all while the Obama administration did nothing. And the Clintons benefited to the tune of nearly $145 million. You want a real Russia collusion story? We've got it. Also, is Congress now going to do its job? Will they investigate these explosive reports immediately? Will the special counsel, Robert Mueller, start looking into this Russian plot to control American uranium? And is the left-wing mainstream media, are they going to stop pushing their lies and conspiracy theories to you, the American people? Will they ever tell us the truth? And that's not all we have tonight. The FBI has confirmed that, in fact, the disgraced former director, James Comey, drafted a letter exonerating Hillary Clinton months before interviewing any key witnesses in the email server scandal. We're going to cover all of this in tonight's breaking news opening monologue.
And before the start of the show, at least going through Washington Times, Washington Post, L.A. Times, New York Post, none of them, and I'm looking at CNN right now, none of them are addressing this story whatsoever.
No.
They're not. I mean, look.
It totally blows up the whole idea that, you know, Trump is Putin's puppet and Trump is a tool of Russian intelligence. It totally blows that up. It doesn't mean that Russia didn't do some of the things that they're accused of doing during the election, spreading misinformation, spreading propaganda via Facebook. But again, and I go back to the conversation we had with David several weeks ago about this, I still maintain that Russia doesn't necessarily have an agenda in terms of, like, they're choosing one side or one party or the other. They're just so in chaos, man.
Right.
They're just so in chaos.
Well, even when the when the story came out of about the Facebook posts and Russia's desire and Russia's attempt to put on these fake Trump rallies, one could make an argument going either way on the purpose of doing that. You know, one could make an argument that, yeah, it was to help support Trump and to have more Trump rallies and get people excited. But based off of the level of criticism and heat that those rallies took place, one could say that that was easily done to try to bring about more interest in Hillary Clinton to get people fired up on her side to go vote for her. Well, they just like to screw with us.
Let's not forget that during the Republican primary, Hillary Clinton and the DNC did everything they could to elevate Trump. They wanted Trump as the nominee.
Yeah.
There you go back and you read those DNC emails. You go back, you read all the stories that came out about all the emails that were leaked. There were concerted efforts to tamp down criticism of what they considered to be the more fringe candidates, which were Ted Cruz,
right.
Donald Trump, and I'm forgetting the third.
Marco Rubio?
No, they took Marco Rubio seriously, and
it was Ben Carson. Actually,
I think you're right. But there was, you know, they tamped down the criticism and they elevated those candidates
right.
because they wanted the easier path in the general election, and they figured Trump or Ted Cruz were probably the most beatable candidates.
You actually have
they got what they wanted.
You have more evidence. You have more like substantial evidence of collusion of Trump getting the nomination with Hillary than you do of Russia colluding colluding with Trump for him to win the nomination. There's more evidence of Hillary colluding than there is of Russia colluding. And we're going to talk with Andrew Langer more at length about this just after 7 o'clock. But look, unless there is something tangible that can be provided showing that Trump had any connection with Russia with regard to the election, this story of Uranium One, no, I'm sorry, you've got your argument. You need to just shut up. You've got nothing.
Right.
In the wake of this, you've got nothing until you can actually present something even close to this Uranium One story. You've got nothing, and you need to shut up.
That you can make the argument that there was Russian meddling.
Sure.
You can make the argument that there was Russian meddling, but you cannot make the argument that there was collusion during the campaign between the Trump campaign and the Republicans and Russia. There's no evidence to back up that argument. However, we have clear evidence of collusion between members of the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Russian interests.
Just ignore it. Just ignore it.
We
know what's going on. Give him the deal. Just ignore it. It's okay.
I'm not like a scientist.
Yeah.
But uranium's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It's kind of important.
It's a little important. If I ever wrote a sci-fi novel, I'd name one of my spaceships Uranium
like
One.
That Uranium.
I think Doc Brown would agree with both of you.
It's a cool name. That's right. We learned anything from Back to the Future. We learned that.
Right. Russia probably has a time machine now. Thanks to Hillary Clinton.
I wouldn't jump that.
They probably have a time machine.
You know what? You're probably right.
Bastards.
Now they're going to go back and have Hillary win.
Oh, my God. What have we done?
Now, is Hillary coming home? She's still overseas.
I don't know.
She coming home?
Maybe I'll just stay.
Maybe she likes the healthcare better there.
She made that clear.
Maybe she'll break another toe or leg or whatever it is. That story's even being refuted now.
Yeah,
there's speculation over what she's running downstairs with a cup of coffee.
Just put her under a heat lamp for a while. She'll get better.
More on this with President of the Institute for Liberty, Andrew Langer, coming up after 7 o'clock.
But we have been scouring the internet, finding the top 5 stories that we think might be floating Sam's boat this morning had she been here. This is Sam's possible top 5 for a Wednesday.
Number 1.
The state of Minnesota has put together sort of a token package in the bidding for Amazon's second headquarters. From the Star Tribune, state to offer modest incentives in high-stakes Amazon competition. While other states are preparing incentive packages worth $1 billion or more to attract Amazon's second headquarters, state officials confirmed this week that Minnesota's initial bid includes at most $3 million in direct assistance. Just $3 million.
I wonder if it's the...
Of my money.
Are they...
money.
Are they doing the? Are they playing like the hard to get game?
No,
is that what they're trying to do? Why isn't Minnesota throwing all this money at us? I wonder why.
They must be hiding something real interesting.
Why don't they desire Amazon more? Maybe I should take a second look at Minnesota.
Nah, I think it's one of those instances where if they didn't put together a package, they would get criticized.
Yeah,
you know, for not even trying. So they put something together, not totally serious about it.
Well, I'm glad
it's probably for the better because some state is going to throw a ridiculous amount of incentives and money at this thing, and Amazon's going to make out like a bandit on it, and the taxpayers of whatever state that ends up being are going to end up sort of getting screwed in the end.
Well, and don't forget the
not that it wouldn't be good.
Don't forget the bit of pushback that the Dayton administration got between Target and Best Buy, or at least the perceived pushback. Remember, he called them up and was assuring them, you know, of Amazon and was trying to reassure them about it. So I think it's a bit of everything. I think it's a bit of being realistic on the chances that Amazon would pick here. Also, not ticking off the entities that are here and very loyal to the state, but also not doing nothing. That's to me seems the reason why.
Governor Dayton said that the state's proposal, which goes to the Seattle-based online retailer ahead of tomorrow's deadline, focuses on Minnesota's workforce, educational opportunities, and transportation systems.
You know, the other thing about this...
Leave out the part about the really bad traffic.
Right. But we haven't talked a ton about the fact that, you know, Amazon in this facility, 50,000 people, I mean, what they've been able to do, how much that company has grown, and just what a huge player they've become You know, and just the sign of times changing that Amazon's going to build another headquarters wherever it is. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Number two.
Senators have reached a tentative deal on Obamacare insurer payments. This is out of the Hill. So you got Senator Lamar Alexander, Senator Patty Murray, Republican and Democrat, respectively. They've reached a bipartisan deal that would extend the payments to insurers under Obamacare that Trump said he was ending last week.
So they're not ending.
Well, this is what was going to happen. He ended them, and then Congress had to go and do something about it. It was forcing Congress's hand. The two senators are the chairman and ranking members, respectively, in the Senate Health Committee. The deal would extend the payments to insurers for 2 years and give states more flexibility to change Obamacare rules. Okay, I'm down with that. Negotiations have been aimed at stabilizing the insurance markets. Now, Trump said that what had been negotiated represented a short-term deal. The president said he could support the deal, but argued an executive order he issued last week was designed to change insurance markets represented a better path forward on care. So, like we talked about, it seems like the move was twofold. One, it would help with the purchase of insurance across state lines and those new pools of insurers being able to get together, right? This would force that to happen, but at the same time, he also forced Congress to have to go and act. So it looks like he's kind of getting both of what he wants at this point. Even Charles Schumer was pleased with the deal, urged Republican leaders to take it up as soon as possible.
That makes me feel good.
Well, right? Yeah. He said the measure...
That gives me the warm fuzzies.
Wait, it includes anti-sabotage measures.
Ooh.
That's kind of cool.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Apparently, it's a reference to restoring the outreach funding. House Speaker Paul Ryan, though, may face opposition from conservatives in his own conference over any deal that might be seen as saving Obamacare, and right now, nobody is not saving Obamacare. I mean...
Well,
we're not really doing anything to dismantle it at this point. So
the narrative around Trump ending those insurer subsidies, insurance payments, was that this was sort of, you know, Nancy Pelosi called it sabotage. They're sabotaging the Affordable Care Act. And this was, you know, taking another sort of pillar out from underneath it so that it continues its inevitable collapse.
Right.
And speeds it up. So if they restore those
and try to prop it up at least temporarily,
keeps it on life support.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could understand why there would be resistance to that.
Number three.
The St. Paul Board has voted to change school start times in 2019 from the Pioneer Press. St. Paul middle and high school students will start their school day 1 hour later, beginning in fall 2019. The school board voted 5-2 yesterday to start secondary schools at 8:30 a.m. each day, giving adolescents an extra hour to sleep each night. Half of the district's elementary and K-8 schools would move up an hour to 7:30, while any school currently with a 9:30 start would keep it.
I like the fact that they are bumping up the lower age groups too, because that's where it makes it more difficult for families that have kids with that age difference. I mean, that's exactly the position that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not in St. Paul, but that's the position that
elementary
we're in.
Elementary school kids should not be out there waiting for a bus or whatever at 6:30 in the morning when it's pitch black and 20 below.
Sure. Sure. I have no problem with elementary kids starting school earlier than high school kids, but just because of the nature of how early elementary school kids usually wake up opposed to high school students. Right. Having the high school kids go in later, yeah, man, because that's what high schoolers do.
Yeah.
They sleep in.
I've always thought you should, you know, as you get a little further in your school, you should get an hour.
Start them at noon. Bring them home by 7.
There you go.
I'm going to see them all day.
Get them home just in time for dinner.
I just have them get fed at school, you know, the government take care of them.
No.
No. That's jokes. Those are just jokes.
Yeah, I've always thought, like, as you progress, you should be rewarded with a little bit later start time as you get a little older.
Yeah.
You know, but 6:30, I think, is too early.
Yeah, no, that's way too early.
Number four.
So a follow-up to the story that we had yesterday of the Mandalay Bay security guard. Okay, so Jesus Campos.
Yeah, he disappeared.
Right.
To an urgent care clinic and was never seen again.
Right, and they were like, where'd he go? And it was lending to these conspiracies and all that. Well, now we know what happened. He got a better gig on the Ellen DeGeneres show. So he was going to be interviewed by a local news, and Ellen was like, hey, dude, come talk to me first. All right. He bailed.
Do I get to dance?
Right. You know, the 25-year-old had been dodging reporter interviews. Signs outside his home read no trespassing, no media on property. Jesus Campos wants to tell a story at his time and place of in choosing, according to MGM Resorts. Apparently,
that's the Ellen DeGeneres show.
But the place of choosing was Ellen.
All right.
It'll air at 3 o'clock. And then Campos and Mandalay Bay maintenance worker will describe what happened to them on October 1st. Well, so
that's a good get for Ellen, I guess.
It's the one thing we didn't guess yesterday.
You're right.
We figured there was a specific reason.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a better gig.
I didn't think it was going on Ellen.
Now,
probably like a bidding war between her and Wendy Williams.
Well, that's the thing. Like, did he agree to Wendy Williams, right? After he already bailed on the local news? And then Ellen was like, well, hey, come over here. And then he left Wendy in the lurch. You know, if Kimmel reaches out, is he going to bail on Ellen?
Where's Maury Povich in all this?
Where's he end up at the end of it? Oh, I know. Press conference with Donald Trump. that's the end game. The
story just gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, and still, no, I did some looking this morning and to bring it back to a serious level on, you know, motivation and reason and all, just still just nothing.
I don't know that
we're ever going to get it. It's so tragic. So tragic.
Number five.
From the Daily Caller, Colin Kaepernick is blaming Donald Trump for his unemployment.
He's not really going to get a job, is he? You were talking about this the other day. He's not really going to get a gig.
I don't know.
Was he any good at all? Was Kaepernick good?
He had a good season.
Yeah, good game?
No. I want to say it was his rookie year. Maybe it was his second. I don't remember. But no, he had a really good season with the 49ers. Made it to the playoffs. Went kind of far in the playoffs, if I remember correctly. He had a real solid season, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. And I do think that the NFL pundits that make the argument that he... If you look at his numbers, and you look at his performance when he was with the Niners, he is better than several quarterbacks who currently are on a roster.
Okay.
Maybe not starting quarterbacks, but at least backups.
Okay.
So I think there's a valid argument to be made that, you know, he should be at least on a roster based on his performance. You're just looking at his performance. But the problem is when you're a distraction,
right,
your performance becomes sort of secondary. Unless you're an elite level player, an NFL team does not want a distraction in the locker room, and that distraction could be anything. Look at Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was a distraction. The media just loved him. And it wasn't anything negative. He wasn't out there doing anything negative, but the media just flocked to him, covered everything he did, covered his practice. And I think that turned a lot of teams off when he was out there looking for a job. You can make the same argument based on skill level and performance. Tim Tebow had a really good season with the Broncos. You make the same argument with Tebow as with Kaepernick. I said, why is this guy not on a roster? Because they don't want distractions in their locker room. They want their players focused. They don't want a bunch of media talking about non-football things and focused on individual personalities and things like that. Chris Cluey, the punter for the Vikings, when he took the stands in support of gay marriage and was very vocal about it,
mm-hmm.
he had trouble finding a job. Not because the NFL is anti-gay marriage, but because he became a sideshow. He became a distraction. He was a perfectly good punter. There was nothing wrong with him, but he... Had trouble finding a job. You have to be an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, you know, elite level player if a team is going to tolerate those sorts of media distractions.
It seems like the NFL sort of is a weird entity in that, and I could be completely wrong on this, but just it seems like it's a weird entity in that it's not like a lot of other sort of high profile media outlets or sporting outlets where having a lot of attention drawn to it ends up being a positive thing. It's almost like if you get a Tebow who has attention drawn to himself in the time when he was playing, but then he doesn't perform, it's like the added eyes on the sport aren't helping because of the fact that the base is getting annoyed mm-hmm. that he's getting so much attention. So it almost seems like you're right. You've got to be like the total package to have the spotlight put on you, and any deviation from that is not like the toxicity can be positive and it can be negative.
Yeah, exactly.
Negative toxicity for Kaepernick and say positive toxicity for you know your Tebow.
We've got more on this, Kaepernick blaming Donald Trump plus NFL policy on anthem kneeling. Coming up, we will wrap up Sam's possible top five on the other side.
Also, we have a lengthy but relevant update to a top five story from yesterday of that guy that was accused of having meth in his car, but it turned out to be donut glaze.
Uh-huh.
Reason did an article on it, answers all of our questions. This is horrible. When you find out what actually happened to this guy... I feel like we need to spend time on it because we did a disservice yesterday based off of what this dude went through over that accusation.
justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew for your Wednesday morning. Are we still working through the potential Sam's Top 5? Is that what we're doing?
Well, we never really finished up number 5.
We didn't?
We kind of gave the headline and went off on a little tangent.
All right, my apologies there.
But the short version is Colin Kaepernick is naming Donald Trump's harsh anti-protest rhetoric as a central factor in his collusion grievance against the NFL. All right, so he's filing this collusion suit. He's got the backing of the players' union on this, claiming that NFL owners have colluded to keep him off of a roster. And naming Trump as a central factor seems like a really misguided strategy because he wasn't on a roster long before Trump decided that he was going to make this a thing that he was going to tweet about.
On its face, it looks like one of those situations where he just has a lot of people around him who say, yeah, it's a really good idea. You should do that. No, he doesn't have a counterpoint saying, no, that's a really ridiculous reason to point to for you know, A, B, C, and D. But when you're a guy like, you know, Kaepernick, you got to imagine that the people who surround him probably feel of like mind and were like, yeah, dude, totally. That's good. You know, that'll really put some fire under this effort.
Yeah. In order to prove collusion, Kaepernick's legal team must demonstrate that the team owners either expressly communicated about restricting Kaepernick's opportunities or that the owners had an implied agreement not to sign Kaepernick. And he claims that Trump's stance and his tweets and his calls for owners to fire players who kneel created a culture in which teams were afraid to draw Trump's ire by signing Kaepernick.
You know, that to me, that makes it sound like they're looking to get not information, but like tangible data, like emails and stuff like that. And I don't know what recourse lawyers would have to go and get communications between owners and teams in order to prove that. It's not like a government investigation, you know. I don't know, can you file a Freedom of Information request against the NFL to get emails?
Now here's the problem with Kaepernick's line of thinking is Kaepernick became a free agent in March.
Okay.
Turned down a deal. So he had an offer. Turned down a deal to test the free agency waters, which is not uncommon. Turned down a deal in March. Trump didn't start talking about NFL protests until September. So that between March and September, any team could have offered him a deal. Any team could have offered him a contract. And they didn't because he's a giant distraction and he's a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, and maybe he just did this move here to gain more attention. Yeah. On a side note with this, by the way, the NFL...
Well done, not Sam.
The NFL officials... Weighed the frustration of the players protesting racism against Trump's anger at their autumn meeting yesterday and supporters of the players kneeling outside in solidarity. So apparently the NFL did not seek commitments from its players to stop kneeling during pregame renditions of the U.S. national anthem, but rather focused on helping them in their political activism. So they're not going to force them to stand.
No, so they shouldn't. I don't think they should force them to stand.
No,
you know, I think players want to kneel. They can kneel, but with that comes the consequences of fan reaction, and teams have to factor that in, and players have to factor that in. But I don't think I'm not in favor of any sort of force in this situation. Let them do what they want to do. They have a right to protest just like anybody else, and fans have a right to say, you know what, I don't want to consume this product anymore because I find their actions bothersome.
Well, then the networks haven't really been showing the national anthem, what the players have been doing anymore anyhow, and there's nobody in the stands to see it, so I don't know who other than themselves they're kneeling for.
Here's
so
the problem, though. I mean, the point of a protest is to get attention to a cause. Right. And then once you have that attention, you need to do something with it.
Right.
And that's what the players are missing. They're missing that step. All right. They've got the attention. They got the attention to their cause. Everybody, you know, for a couple of weeks at least paid attention to players kneeling during the anthem. Then what did they do with it?
Yeah. Hey, look what we did.
Nothing.
Look at what we did. We kneeled.
Yeah.
We got you looking.
The second part of an effective protest is a call to action.
So what you're saying is it's not an effective protest.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Twin Cities News Talk. Let's go here Reason.com. Now, we had this in, Sam had this in her top five yesterday. A man who was arrested for possession of methamphetamine that turned out to be donut glaze, okay, received $37,500 from the city of Orlando for his trouble, okay? Daniel Rushing, 65-year-old retiree, after a traffic stop, they say it illustrates the limits of drug field tests and the cops who perform them. Now, we had a lot of questions about this yesterday.
Yeah, this wasn't just a, hey, I see something that looks like crystal meth, you're under arrest. They've tested this.
Well, no, actually, it's the other. That's where the problem rests. Because we thought...
The original story.
Right.
Okay.
Right. No, no, no. It's, it's so much worse. So, Shelby Riggs... Hopkins, okay, the officer, okay, pulled Rushing over because he didn't make a complete stop as he pulled out of a 7-Eleven parking lot and subsequently exceeded the speed limit. But those offenses seem to have been pretexts. You see, the officer, Riggs Hopkins, had been keeping an eye on the convenience store because of doing that thing with my fingers, citizens' complaints about drug activity. She thought it was suspicious that Rushing, who was simply giving a lift to a friend, left the store without buying anything in the company of a black female employee of the 7-Eleven.
All right, so this guy pulls into a 7-Eleven, doesn't buy anything.
Goes inside.
Leaves with an employee.
Right, leaves with an employee, and they're sitting outside of the 7-Eleven because of apparent drug activity.
Right, and if the 7-Eleven is a known...
Right.
Bed for drug activity. Okay, that seems fairly reasonable so far.
So, gets pulled over. Rushing opens his wallet to retrieve his driver's license. Riggs Hopkins noticed that he had a concealed carry permit and asked if he was armed. He said he was, and then she asked him to get out of his car for his own safety. So at that point, Riggs Hopkins observed in plain view a rock-like substance on the floorboard where his feet were. The eagle-eyed, street-savvy cop recalled that she recognized, through my 11 years of training and experience as a law enforcement officer, the substance to be some sort of narcotic.
I've seen all seasons of Breaking Bad, so right. I recognize this.
I can tell donut glaze from meth. Apparently not. So the suspect stated the substance is sugar from a Krispy Kreme donut that he ate, but Riggs Hopkins knew better. There were two field tests of the rock-like substance gave a positive indication for the presence of methamphetamines. This is where things get sticky, okay? Because when you actually get further on and the actual tests are done, that was not the case. So it raises the question of the officer here of whether or not they actually faked that test in the field when it happened because trying to save face. Thinking that there probably was more here to bust him on.
There's definitely something here, so let's just get this test out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make sure it says what we wanted to say.
Inconclusive.
Right.
Right? So,
positive indication for the presence of amphetamines.
Right.
Now, is it possible...
Sugar?
That a high enough concentration of sugar?
They are Krispy Kreme, man.
Yeah, I mean, that is nothing but a purely highly concentrated sugar.
So Riggs Hopkins initially was not sure what sort of narcotic she had discovered. I kept telling them that's glaze from a donut. They tried to say it was crack cocaine at first, and they said, no, it's meth, crystal meth. So adding insult to injury, Rushing was accused of possessing meth with a weapon. Third-degree felony, punishable up to 5 years in prison. Into a second-degree felony, that's punishable by 15 years in prison. Wow. He was handcuffed, taken into county jail, strip-searched, locked up for 10 hours before being released on $2,500 bail.
Wow.
Three days later...
And by the way, that weapon was his legally
carried
handgun that he had a permit for and that he informed her of.
Three days later, the lab test found no illegal substance in the evidence recovered by Riggs Hopkins. The charges against him were dropped. Now, Rushing told... Now, oh, by the way, the lab was not able to specify and identify what brand of donut glaze it came from. So there still was a question on whether or not he was telling the truth that it was Krispy Kreme. Just throwing that in there. I was being dumb.
The saddest thing about this whole story to me is just the image of him eating this Krispy Kreme while driving, which I've done, we've all done, and it's not a super neat affair.
No.
And just kind of shoving it in his mouth and the crumbs
is.
And the sticky hands. And then it all ends with getting arrested later that night. That, to me, is just like the greatest.
Well, think about if you're him, you know 100% the truth.
Right.
You know, in that moment, and all these things, I mean, how helpless you would feel in the wake of this ridiculous assertion.
Yeah, it's all spinning out of control, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you know, I've never possessed methamphetamine. I've never possessed crack cocaine. I just ate a donut.
It gets worse. He tried to start a security business, could not find work because people go online and saw that he was arrested.
Yeah.
The officers in question ended up, as we stated yesterday, receiving more than 730 officers had to learn how to properly use field test kits, and Riggs Hopkins was given a written reprimand for making an improper arrest.
Ruined this guy's life for how many years? This all happened in, what, 2015? Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Totally threw this guy's life down a vortex that he couldn't do anything about for 2 years. Almost 2 years, and she just gets a slap on the wrist, and he gets $37,000. That doesn't seem like enough compensation. He was jailed, and granted, it was only for a little bit of time, but he was jailed and threatened with up to 15 years in prison for eating a donut.
Biggest takeaway, if you have a concealed carry and you're driving in your car, don't eat a donut. Or if you do, make sure there's no glaze on it.
Right. Clean up your glaze, man. Clean up your glaze.
I can't. You wonder how these situations spiral out of control. Like, I'm shocked that this dude maintained his composure. Well, and didn't lose his D mind.
It also makes you wonder, because, and we don't have time to get into it, but there are a lot of innocent people in jail. Mm. And it's because they get in circumstances like this, and then the prosecutors convince them that, look, we've got a rock solid case against you.
Right.
So you need to plead guilty to this lesser charge, or else we're going to convict you on this higher charge. So you're going to spend 5 years in prison if you just plead guilty to this, or we're absolutely 100% going to convict you on this charge, and you're going to end up spending 20 years in prison.
Not sure.
That happens more often than people realize.
Not sure you want to use rock solid, but that was a great point. By the way, Melissa Etheridge and Todd Rundgren were facing marijuana charges after crossing the U.S. border in North Dakota for...
Let them go. It's Etheridge and Rundgren. Let them go, for crying out loud.
Is anybody surprised by this?
Nobody should be surprised. I know we have laws, but I have no problem if they go like, be on your merry musical ways.
Right.
Please.
Stupid.
All right. Coming up, the other Russia scandal. We'll talk Uranium One with Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.5.